Hi, and welcome to Frame Society, where we discuss real-life issues in film. This week, you know, it's the new year, so happy new year. We haven't talked with y'all since last year.
It's been two weeks.
Yeah, such a long time. And we're starting 2021 with a bang. And the movie we're talking about is Call Me By Your Name. So,
yeah,
that's always,
oh my god,
yeah, we're so excited for this one. This is like a really anticipated episode by us. Let's start it.
That's a funny way to present things.
Yeah, it's a long awaited movie. I think it's funny because I just finished the other day a school essay about this movie. It's for the second time. From the first year I did it, and now on the third year, yeah, it's an amazing movie.
Yes, it is.
Sure is.
It is.
So, can one of y'all let us in on the synopsis, on the story, please?
Sausage, can we?
Me? That's your job.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait. I didn't open the IMDb page. Let me wait just a second. Yeah. We have to wait a bit.
We're starting...
Cue the elevator music.
We're starting it really great, as you can see. Super prepared. We haven't made our jingle yet. We are trying to get a jingle for the episodes, but we haven't done that yet. We need to get on with that.
Yeah.
So, IMDb tells us a two-phrased synopsis, which is called a tag, a log line. Nah.
I don't know, I guess so.
I'm not sure, it doesn't matter. It says, in 1980s Italy, romance blossoms between a 17-year-old student and the older man hired as his father's research assistant. But before we start thinking this is about kind of a pedophile relationship, let us just clarify that the older man is only on his 20s, so it's not that weird. It's like 4 years, or
I mean technically, you know, like,
yeah, he's still 18, but it doesn't matter.
But sexual majority is like 16 in most countries around the world, so I guess
it's okay, kinda.
Well,
yeah, let's.
It's a weird territory to step into. Let's not get into the specifics, maybe. The story would be there either way, so like. Let's not get into that, maybe. To start things off, so this, hold on, I'm getting some notifications, I don't know why. So to start us all off, this movie, the tension... The tension. Basically, like, 95% of this movie is the tension in it. I feel like, you know, the first time I... Funny story, the first time I watched this movie was with Sausage.
Yeah, it was really uncomfortable.
It was at my place, and we did a movie. We were so uncomfortable watching it. We were like, you feel so, like, an intruder into... Well, not only the conditions in which we were watching it weren't great, because there were other people next
with
to us,
and
then, you know, talking and stuff. So, that wasn't great.
It's not a great way to watch this movie.
It's a very watch-for-yourself movie, I think. But also, the movie in itself, it made me feel like an unwanted voyeur. Like, you know, like, I'm looking into their intimacy and I'm not supposed to be there. You know, that kind of feeling? You're seeing something you shouldn't?
Cinema. Am I right?
That's how I felt.
Am I right? I mean, yeah, that's the base of cinema. We're basically watching the intimacy of people and story about their life. And some when it's like action movie, mm-hmm. you're just like, oh my god, so cool. When it's more like intimate, like Call Me By Your Name, you just feel like, I shouldn't be watching this. This feels too real, too like,
yeah.
What am I doing here?
And you stop making comments on other people's clothes like, oh, look at his shorts. Oh, but why is he taking his socks like that? I always do this kind of, it gets worse when you're, like you were saying, when you're watching with someone by your side, that tension and that need to comment about everything.
But what's happening, you'd be like, oh my god, that's a nice backpack I see there.
Yeah.
What a nice flower!
I love that poem. Just, you know, everything that's not really important in this thing. Because, you know, that's the thing. You know, the movie, it makes you feel uncomfortable. And that's I feel like that's one of the main themes of the whole movie, is being okay with being uncomfortable and with new experiences.
Yeah.
And the movie really does that to the viewer as well, you know? It puts you through an experience, I would say. But, you know...
What an experience.
You know, this tension, this thing, it also helps a lot with doing that... Creating this environment, you know? This intensity, which is... I won't... You know, for Elio, I wouldn't really say it's his first love... Because he has, you see him with other partners, but it's his first experience like that. So it's
not because you are with someone like romantically involved that you are in love, like, and clearly, I guess it's the first love for Elio too, because his other partner in the movie is like
Oliver.
There is nothing, no like connection between them. You just be like. Okay, I guess they're a couple.
It's purely physical, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like with Elio, when he starts his relationship with Marzia, the only purpose of that is to release the sexual tension he's feeling towards Oliver. And because you don't see anything romantically developing in there. The way they act, besides that all sexual action, it's just friendship...
Friends with benefits.
Friends with benefits.
So I guess, you know, okay, let me rephrase what I was going then. even though it's not his first, I'd say, romantic or sexual
relationship
experience, I'd say. Yeah, relationship, not the first time he's... You know, it's his first love, real love. It's first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go through all these motions of, you know, denial, of euphoria. But at the same time, you know, you like that person a lot, but you can't like that. So you're always making excuses as to not. So, you know, it's the highs and lows, you know, the euphoria and the crash of. A first love, you know.
And in Elio's case, it's really like conflicting because he always had girls as partners, and now, like, you know, it's a guy, and you'd be just like, I shouldn't be feeling that. So, it's really interesting to see that evolve in Elio because he's a really out there guy, you know. It's not a shy guy. It's like straightforward, and he do what he wants to do, but like there's a kind of a conflict in what he's feeling and what he should be feeling. So yeah, it's really interesting because, like, I don't want to talk about the end of the movie yet, but
the end of the movie
is just like you see the peak of everything like coming true. It's like it's not a happy ending, but not a bad ending either. It's just like
Yeah. A realistic one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing with Elio, it's you know, I didn't want to interrupt, but basically there's a point in the movie where you're basically just, you know, talking to Elio like, well, Elio, honey, welcome to the journey of self-discovery. And, you know, that's basically it. That's, you know, he's so going against what his own self is asking for. But at one point, he's just like, you know, whatever. I'm just going to go with it because I want it and I'll figure it out later. I just want to experience this. There's a lot of moments like that, I feel like, in a movie, you know. There's a really famous one, the peach one.
I'm still traumatized about this.
But there's a lot of other, I wouldn't say smaller, but, you know, less talked about moments, like, you know, how, like, every single, you know, moment where you see Elio making a decision about what he's feeling, I feel like it's important in that sense. And one of the cool things of the conflict in the movies, I don't mean this in a bad way, it's a very stripped away movie, you know. There's no huge drama, I'd say, you know. There's no, like, the only barrier between that relationship is their own, you know, insecurities and reserves, because there's no, like, you know, evil parent or something, you know, putting a stop to that or whatever. Even though, obviously, there's, you know, social pressure and they talk about it briefly, but there's not this huge drama about their sexuality and what they're feeling. That also comes from, you know, Elio's family being so educated and open and everything, but there's this whole thing where, they don't really go, you know, oh, this is, we're talking about this type of sexuality, or, like, they're just experimenting with it. They're not really putting labels or everything. Yeah. It's not like, I'm gay. No, it's like, I don't know if I'm gay, if I'm bi, if I'm I have no idea what's happening, but I'm discovering myself through it. It doesn't matter because I'm feeling a connection to this person, and that's what's important in this movie. It's not a label, it's not, you know, this huge drama. It's this thing of, you know, connection and desire. And I feel like that's why it's so universal. Mm-hmm. Because it's not really concerned with the details of the story. It's about the feeling of it. And it's a feeling everyone can relate to. Even a cynical person like me that doesn't believe in relationships.
That's not cynical, that's a way of life, honey.
Yeah.
It's totally okay. But I think what's interesting about this movie and the way you say it doesn't feel very dramatic when it comes to talking about sexuality and the whole feeling thing of what are they feeling, it's because they don't even express it that way verbally. The director has a very, he assumes, he confessed in an interview, I think it was at the TIFF cinema thingy they have in Canada. Isn't it Canada? Yeah, it is Canada. I don't remember. Oh God, my grandma is calling. Wait, grandma. And he was saying something that I found really interesting. He said, I'm a voyeur. Because I like to contemplate things, and you can really see that, because although they don't express their feelings with words, and there's a very interesting thing. I love that scene where they are at the near the cafe where Oliver goes to buy cigarettes and stuff, and they are near a statue, and the dialogue is so simple. Oliver is just like, oh, Elio, what don't you know about? And he said, oh, about thing, if you only knew I don't know about things that matter, something like that. I even added that description to a cover photo of my Facebook page. But it's really interesting because they don't have a really descriptive conversation. But you understand what they are talking about, and they understand. And the rest of the intimate scenes they have, including the intercourse one.
Intercourse.
The beautiful intercourse montage.
Yes. The director not only focuses on the feet, beautiful feet, and their faces, and really close is it plans we say in English? I don't know. Of them kissing, and I don't care if it's not plans. It's plans in Portuguese.
Frame.
You know,
frame.
And
I think that's a really like smart way to show this thing, because you know when it's like a straight romance and in movies, you know, there's not this question of sexuality. It's like, oh, you're straight, I'm straight too, you know, nobody say that. So like it being like gay, bi, pan, whatever you wanna call it, you know, it's not important. And you know, you never see straight characters, or at least in straight relationships, you know, you never see them discussing that. You never see them, oh, you know, I love you, but I don't know, because you know, it's not dramatic in that way. What's dramatic in those type of relationship usually are like everything around it, but not the relationship in itself. And that's why I think this movie is really smart, because it does not pose a problem or a dramatic feature to the type of relationship they're having, but more like it's just something that happens. This is not the problematic of the movie. It's not like there are two men that like each other or that have any type of involvement with each other. It's just like it's happening, and we're just here to watch it happening.
Yeah, basically. It's a summer love.
Actually, about this whole thing, I got two quotes from the director about the whole feel. You know, one is more about the visual aspect of the film. The way he makes the film look visually is, and I quote, as if you were recollecting your own memories from a time that has long passed. And, you know, this is going to really tie into talking about the ending. But most importantly, he says that Call Me By Your Name is about the avenues it leads you through and your capacity to meet this driving force of desire, no matter what its object is. It can be a man with a man, a woman with another woman, a man with a woman. It is absolutely irrelevant. So it's basically what you were saying, Celsus. And that's really, it doesn't matter. It's a love story. It's a summer fling. And it's an experience that makes, you know, of course it teaches Oliver things, but Oliver is a bit more mature and experienced than Elio. You know, what you really see is Elio flourish into himself. And
Oliver as well, because even if he's already mature and wise, you see a sense of insecurity and of like he's a little boy again when he's with Elio in the night after the day after they have sex. He's just looking at Elio like, oh, you're so beautiful. And Elio is a bit grumpy. We don't know why. And Oliver is just so hurt because he asks, did I do something? Are you mad with me for last night? And Elio doesn't even answer. So it's interesting to see how two characters who are at different states at life all can both grow with this relationship.
We're always evolving, no matter what our age or experience, background, whatever. I can be like, you know, we're in our 20s and we just like, you know, in the beginning of our lives, blah, 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 you know, and we are still evolving. And, you know, like people at their 60s can still evolve, 80s can still evolve. Like life is it's basically just a path, and like we just like following and just like, yeah, let's go this way. No, this. And, you know, you learn around like the path, and it's just like fine, it's just great. And yeah, nothing is like forever. Oh.
Diamonds, like, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. But it's nice to have, like, those things in your life and to just, like, it's what I always say, you know, like, even if you made, like, some errors and mistakes and things like that, or even if it's not mistakes, like, just great things you did, like, take everything you live and everything you see, everything you experience, and learn from it. Take what makes you great, you know, about every little thing, you know, it can be like nothing, and it can be like huge things, but it always serves the purpose of you growing. And yeah, just continue your life, it like go on, you know, and teach others. That's nice, because that's something that I feel a lot about their relationship, is like Oliver teaches Helio some part of adulthood, or at least, like, you know, and Helio teaches Oliver to be young again, be a teenager again,
yeah,
you know.
Naive,
and
I
love this thing that they both grow from each other, and that's super nice.
It's this thing about, you know, they're discovering themselves and accepting themselves through their own desires, but also through the eyes of the other person. So it's like this action of recognizing oneself in the gaze of another, you know, this thing, like, mm-hmm. you know, like in life, when you're, says the 20-year-old, when you're learning, or when you're, you know, experiencing things, of course you learn through yourself and through your own experiences and through your own, you know, struggles and everything. And, you know, when you spend more time with yourself, you get to know yourself better. But you also learn about yourself through others, you know. There are some things about myself that I wouldn't know, or I wouldn't really think about, if other people didn't point out to me, you know. So it's this, you know, self-discovery is not this lonely journey where you're all alone in this beat up road in the middle of nowhere. It's daily life. It's, you know, figuring out how you like your coffee, and, you know, going to the store with your friends.
I like myself I like mine, like, with not a lot of sugar. You can put a little bit of milk in it, or cream, like, you know.
You know what I mean.
If anyone's interested, I'm just throwing it out there, you know, taking information.
Apparently, I like to sniff my coffee with milk.
I don't drink coffee, so I don't even know where I was going with that analogy. But, you know, it's about daily experiences. It's about, you know, the simplest of things can be a teaching experience about yourself. And, you know, receiving a Christmas gift can be a learning experience. So self-discovery is a self-discovery is a journey with yourself.
I like the fact that now we are laughing at this, but people don't get the reference.
Yeah, so people don't need to get the reference. Sorry,
guys. For yourselves. Get yourself a Christmas present.
Get yourself some good friends, guys. That's all I'm saying. In the end, self-discovery is with yourself, but it's with others as well. And the thing about learning is, you know, when you're learning, you go through awkward, uncomfortable experiences, and you make mistakes, and sometimes things don't go the way you want. And in real life, you can't just, you know, ask the editor to cut that one out. Like, that wasn't a good take, guys, let's do it again. No. And the movie does that as well, you know. When Helio does, you know, like, cringe-level embarrassing things, you're there with them. You're not escaping that. You're, you know, if that's uncomfortable, let's give that scene like 5 minutes that you're just there staring at Helio doing dumb shit.
Yes.
And
that's beautiful. Terrible. That's terrible. Living the awkwardness of somebody else is like, is like peak awkwardness. You just like be like, okay.
Yep. But that's the thing about learning.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the movie. It's amazing. I love movies that make you so uncomfortable about normal things because you like you relate to it. You just like be, oh my god, I'm kind of watching myself in it and this is making me uncomfortable, you know? I love movies that does that. It's amazing.
I don't know who was the director of that movie, but the eighth grade one. Oh god. The one with, oh, that movie felt like, that was just,
oh,
like,
oh god.
Yeah, it had cringiness all over it because it makes you go back to the times where you were also on eighth grade, and
I'm not following. I'm not placing the movie in my head.
I'm gonna search it so I can show you to you.
It's so bad. But self-discovery. Am I right?
I think it's only called eighth grade.
Yeah, I think that's the name.
Yeah, eighth grade. Yeah.
Isn't it like Bo Burnham?
Yeah,
or Burnham,
exactly.
I was like, I discovered his name.
I don't think I've seen
so
it.
So great. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
honey. You
watch
have
it.
To.
It's nice. It's nice. It's nice. Really nice.
I'm going to put it on my watch list then. If you're curious about our watch list, by the way, we have a Letterboxd, guys. So if you go to our link tree, you can see what we're watching, our faves. You know, maybe give us suggestions. Yeah, that's just a little tip.
in case you're interested.
Yeah.
Just in case.
You don't have to.
But if want to.
Do it.
just
like
it.
Be as passive aggressive about our promo as the lady in the ATMs. Just like, take your money.
Take your goddamn money.
We're like, go to our things. Like, no, guys, you're not passive aggressive. You can do whatever you want to. And you can learn from it. You know, self-discovery. Because that's our theme today.
If you didn't get it
yet. You know what would be really cool? Is, you know, if people could, like, you know, maybe share some experiences about little things they found out about themselves. You know, one thing about me is I never really had that idea that college changed you that much. For me, it was like, you know, you go and you study and it's whatever. When I came to college and I met, you know, the older
people.
Yeah. They were like, oh, you're such
the
kids.
Older.
You know, the seniors.
Yeah, and you just feel like, no, I'm an adult.
Yeah,
I'm like, just like you.
Yeah,
and
like,
now that we are, like, the oldest, kind of, we just be like, damn, those kids.
Yeah, it changes you so much. And, like, for me, at least it did. I grew so much here. And then, like, you don't really see it happen. You just reach one day and you're like, oh, hold on. When did all this maturity reach here? I'm like, I didn't ask for express delivery on this one. What happened?
I feel
I mean, I don't think it's everybody that goes through it, you know, because I feel like I know a lot of people that didn't go through that growth.
True.
I mean, they did grow because everybody grew. But, like, you know, everybody got their kind of, I don't know, rhythm, I guess, you know, and we might have some experience that other didn't have, and so didn't reach to the point we are, but they are at a point that we aren't. I mean, evolution, that's so complicated, but yeah, college make you grow, like, so much. I'm like, really scared of the person that I have become in like 3 years. It's just like, it really confuses me. Like, I look back at myself when I was 18. That's not like so long ago, and I'm just like, who was this kid, this annoying little kid? Like, ew.
Oh my god, yeah, she was so enthusiastic about life. It's cute.
Yeah, well,
oh, so cute.
18-year-old me was not enthusiastic about life whatsoever.
Same.
So that's something that changed me, actually, is, you know, I got more in touch with my childlike enthusiasm, because, you know, I had a very practical outlook on how I wanted my life to to look, you know, 10 years from now. And, you know, I came here with that goal, and it was that, and it was always that. And I was so focused on getting to that point that I think at first I was losing some experiences around me, you know, especially in a cinema course. I wanted that kind of cinema, you know, I wanted to be, to know about that specifically. So I was losing knowledge on so many other different films and ways to think about cinema. And when I opened up myself to it, it just, it blew me away completely, you know, like, that's one example of many, you know, when 2 years, yeah, 2-3 years really change a person.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I was saying, like, I'm still enthusiastic about life, but I'm now a changed person. I came into our cinema major, and I was like, oh my god, this is a new experience. These are new people. I'm not being bullied anymore for liking musicals and animation because this is a cinema major. Oh my god, I was doing this, but I did this. It was on purpose. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. But I remember.
I love the fact that you were so apologetic about nothing.
Yeah, because I didn't even notice it.
I was holding a sticker with his finger, and I did the sign piece, but this didn't came up. So I did the. It doesn't matter.
Merch became a street like. Gang gang.
It's
guys.
Okay, merch. You're not going to hell. It's fine.
Thank you, I appreciate. But wholesome, as I was saying, I came into our cinema major, because it's not only mine. But I was like, oh, is this where I'm going to find love? And Naive Merced was so enthusiastic about the idea. She got her eyes out at the first guy who she thought was interesting. And that didn't happen one time. That happened
a lot
of times. And but that helped me grow, because I have now realized, and I'm still realizing, that I'm not gonna swear in this, but, you know, those dudes are not important when it comes to your mental health, your own self-care, your own image you have of yourself. You have to like yourself first. And we always get to this point in our episodes, but I think it's really important, because
love yourself.
Yeah, because growth and personal growth and everything we experience in life, which is, it has that purpose at the end or in the end. Oh my god, I don't know how to speak.
It's also that because we're at that stage in our lives, you know. Your 20s are, you know, one of the times. Of course you do that, like, throughout your whole life, but your 20s are famously known for, you know, a place or in a time where you cultivate yourself more and you learn about yourself more. So maybe that's why we always go back to that, you know, learn about yourself, love yourself, take care of yourself very aggressively. But
yeah,
you
we're
know,
just in that phase.
Yeah.
Because that's the seed of everything. If you don't do that, your plant won't grow. You'll have a crappy plant who needs water because you don't hydrate your plant. Hydrate your plant, people.
Drink water, guys. Merch is very aggressive. Drink your water.
Drink water.
Do your meditation.
Don't be like me on that plant.
My yeah. fucking...
You know,
I
you
don't
were
treat
talking,
that plant right.
You were talking about relationships. And, you know, one of the things I... You know, it's pretty funny. Right now, I have a very, like... not dang for me idea. And when I first came here, I thought about, you know, relationships, and I thought that it wasn't really my thing, if it would be serious. But, like, you know, I was in a weird place where I kind of wanted a relationship, but I didn't want it to call it a relationship.
I don't want to be in a relationship, but I need a boyfriend.
Basically, but without the boyfriend tag, basically. You know?
Just get a dog. Just get
a yeah, that's probably the best option for me, honestly. But, you know, I was in that weird place where I craved affection, but I didn't want, like, to label it and whatever. And going through college and meeting people and things like that, each day more, I think, yeah, nope, not for me. I've had, you know, this summer, I thought about that a lot. And when people talked about relationships and how relationships change your life and stuff like that, and, you know, my sister last year finally made us meet her boyfriend and whatever, and everyone's so excited about that, and I'm just like, I mean, cool for them, I'm excited for them, but for me, nah, but, homie, I'm so good alone, like, nah, that ain't for me. And yeah, so, yeah, that cemented even more. So I was in a doubt when I came here, and now I'm just completely, like, not into...
Yeah, but isn't that amazing? Reaching a point where you think, oh, I have this possibility of falling this with this person. But at the same time, god damn, I'm so happy alone. I don't need this because I don't even... I don't feel this. So, yeah. What the hell, just... I'm gonna live this by myself because I'm great with myself. And I think that's amazing. It's yeah. Even better than unrequited love, because that sucks, you know.
Yeah, everybody been there than that. And, you know, the thing is, you and going back, thinking back, you know, I had a troubled first love story, as y'all know. It was a very problematic one. And I think that one of the things that I got cheated on, one of the things that that learned a lot. Yeah, he doesn't listen to the podcast. We're good, guys. It's fine. And if he does, what up, dude? How you doing? I mean, when I'm famous. How you doing? How you doing? I'm doing great. How about you? But one of the things I learned was that it's the pressure people put on people falling in love. And because, you know, we were childhood friends, like, kind of. We met when we were 10, and when we were, like, 15, 16.
People... That's a terrible story already.
Yeah. It's, like, it's straight out of Tumblr. And yeah. So, when we...
This never works.
Yeah, we mean, were,
it does.
Like...
I mean, some... maybe it does, but...
Fan yeah, fiction, for case. Me, it didn't. Yeah. So, when we... He had a really toxic relationship with someone else, and then they ended it. And I was, you know, he was going through a tough time. And so I was trying to be a supportive best friend, and we talked more and things like that. Even though we already spent a lot of time together before that. But everyone around us was like, you guys care so much about each other. You're always so worried. You like each other. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I don't like him like that. Why would you say that? I mean, like, of course I care more about him than other guys that I'm friends with. He's my best friend. That's how it works. And people were like, no, that's love, honey. And I was like 15 and immature. So I was like, oh, is it? Huh. And then, you know, stuff happened. And then he asked me to date him. And 6 months later, that didn't work out. So...
Yeah. Don't people basically bullied you into liking a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're like, don't you see the signs? Don't you are you blind?
You are in love. And
I
was like, yeah.
I saw him puke. I'm not really
sure. Then. I mean, that makes you really, 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 really close to him. So I mean,
we were super close. Yeah. Like,
you were like friends, but
we were like siblings.
People like just pressured you into something else.
We behaved like siblings more than anything, and then things got weird.
Well, don't say that, because that's but another kind of but an incest. Like, that's seeing, I don't want to have this image in my head.
That's how bad it was. So yeah, like, you know, the thing is, and I see that a lot. You know, I'm from a relatively big family, and so my eldest sister is the eldest of the grandkids, you know, my, and so I'm next, and then there's like a 16-year-old, the one after me, it's my biggest cousin. He's a 16-year-old guy. And at Christmas, people were talking about how, you know, it was something so, like, you know, about facials and, you know, doing your eyebrows and stuff like that. Yeah, and my cousin said, oh, I'm cool with that. I have a friend of mine, a girl in my class, that helps me with it because I'm not really good at, you know, doing that stuff. It's fine, you know, that's cute. He has a friend that helps him do his eyebrows. Isn't that super cute? I think it's super cute. Like, friendship, am I right? And all my family was like, that's the girlfriend. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works. And I went on a 20-minute rant about how pressuring young people was wrong. So, Merry Christmas, family.
Yeah. I think that this is the kind of stuff, like, today, I don't know, like, of course, like, this has always been a thing, you know, but before, like, people weren't dating so young, I guess, like, the more I get old, and the younger people start, like, dating, and I feel really, like, I mean, kids, okay, you know, I never had a relationship, serious one, never, and probably will never, you know, and I tried, it's not like the thing that, I tried, like, when I was already, like, 18, but I tried, didn't work, because I can't deal with other people feeling, so it's not good for me, I just, like, get really in my head, I pressure my own self, and it's just, like, anxiety, boom, floats of anxiety through my body, and I just can't handle the feeling. But, like, when I watch, like, my cousins that are younger than me, like, 14, 15, 13, and they're, like, dating guys or girls, depending on their preferences, and they just, like, they talk to me, like, I was, like, the kid, and they were, like, older, they were like, but when you met someone and, like, you fall in love, like, I mean, it's so different. I'm like, honey, you're 13, what do you know about love? You know, I'm not saying that it's impossible to feel love at 13 or 14, but it's not the same type of love that you will feel later on, you know, like, I feel like this is the thing that you only reach at a certain age, you know, and before that it's just like flings, I guess. I mean, of course, you can appreciate a lot someone and be attracted to that person, but I don't think that at 15, 14, 13 you can have this intricate feeling that is love. I mean, I don't think that you can really feel that kind of stuff because you're just not there yet emotionally. And so I feel like since everybody else around us and around, like, you know, are just, like, dating so early, when you're just, like, 16, 17, 18, people just, like, start thinking, well, I mean, you should be dating because all of your friends are dating. So just, like, why aren't you dating? And then they find a little thing that you have with someone and they be like, well, you should date her or you should date him, and you just, but no. Yeah. And that's the pressure kind of people put in ourselves, and I think that when you're a guy, it's actually worse, you know, because if you're a girl and you haven't dated when you're 21, it's like perfectly fine, it's like, oh my gosh, she's so pure, she's so, a guy, no. It's not the same thing. A guy, like, gets to his 18 without having dating a girl and just like, huh, look at him, such a loser, he never had a girl. That's
the pressure they put on relationships is the same one as they put on being a virgin, not having kissed someone, not having had some type of affection that is related to a romantic relationship. If I had counted how many times in my freaking life I have heard people say to me in their most disgusted look, like, or like the look they make when they say things to kids, like, oh, poor thing, are you kidding? I can't believe you've never been kissed before. And it's like,
honestly, no. I did, and I regret it. I wish I didn't, because
it's not that great.
No, you know, first kisses, I mean, I mean, some people they're out there, great. Some people out there might have a great story about it, but usually they're never great. They're awkward.
That's awkward. Like, first time is always awkward, and first time in everything.
Yeah.
Like kissing, sex, or just like being in a relation, just like dating, like the first date. It's so awkward. You just like, yeah. You don't know what to do. Yeah. And it's normal because first time you have no experience. Like, yeah, it's perfectly fine.
And that's the thing, you know, like, the thing about having this kind of pressure and this kind of thing of to always be perfect is like, it's not gonna be great, and you know, you don't have to force yourself to have experiences just because everyone else is having them, you know, and like, I don't know, it this kind of stuff, it really bugs me, because why would it mean like a lot, you know? Sexuality isn't discovered with kissing a boy or a girl when you're a teen. Sexuality is so many things, and people forget about so many aspects of learning it, and they always focused on that thing, and where, you know, you go out and you find people to have relations so you can, you know, build a life and a family, because that's what you have to, like, honey, cut that out. They're kids, they're teenagers, they're experimenting. If they experiment with other people, great. If they experiment alone, great as well, you know? Like, the thing is, people forget is that experiences don't have to be the same for everyone. And it just, I don't know, it bugs me a lot. That thing of, you need to have your first kiss, you need to... Because, you know, I was pressured into it. I was pressured into falling in love and getting a first relationship. By my, not only, you know, family always pressure about that, but my own friends, because it wasn't, I remember when I was like 12 or 13, and I have never liked a guy before, and I didn't like a guy. I was just, you know, minding my own business, and two friends of mine said, oh, you know, it's so weird that you've never liked someone, and this guy came up to you and he was interested, and you just, you know, you shut him down. You should have taken advantage of that opportunity. And I was like, no, I'm not gonna. Yeah, that happened to me. And I was like, that makes you a bitch. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna do that. I don't like that. I didn't feel comfortable with taking advantage of someone that was interested when I clearly wasn't. So
what type of advantage could a 13-year-old or 12-year-old take of another 13 or 12-year-old?
Yeah, that was the thing. Yeah, I was so confused. All over. And so I asked one of my guy friends at the time, that he was also very in the, like, I don't really want to experience this part of adolescence just yet. And I was like, yo, can I just tell them that I have a crush on you? And you, yeah, so they left me alone. And he was like, cool, I'm gonna do the same. And then everyone thought we liked each other, and then we were kind of easing into having something at 13, for Christ's sake. We were just fist bumping in the hallways, like, yeah, bro, cool. Let's go get snacks. Yeah. So we lied to everyone at 13 so they wouldn't pressure us into liking someone else. I mean, let me just say, genius move. Not gonna, you know, just
very genius.
I mean, it's just like, you shouldn't feel pressured to like anyone just because, like, it's not weird to be 13 and to not like anyone. You're basically a kid at 13. You're not even a teen. You're a preteen, you know? And like, I am 20, never liked anyone romantically in my life. And like, it's not weird. It's just like, I never liked anyone. I never, of course, like, I was interested in people, and, you know, I could have, like, you know, I talked to people and things like that, but never, like, loved anyone. And it's perfectly fine. Like, I have time. Even if I'm, like, when I'm, like, 60, if I never felt this type of love, you know, romantically, it's not a problem. Like, everybody got their rhythm, as I said. So it's really just like, if you are like 15 and you want to experience this with someone that you like, go ahead. If you don't wanna, if you're not interested, like, don't feel pressured. Like, things will come, things will go, things will happen, and it's gonna be perfectly fine. No.
Yeah,
it's complicated. Because
you get on such a type of. You are so pressured by everyone, and your family kind of. I think it. I don't know if it's because of their own education, you know. Sometimes they don't do it on purpose. They just grew up thinking it was that way, or you had to, not you had to be that way, but when you feel, for instance, that thing of talking a lot with a certain boy. Oh, if you're doing that, that must mean something. It's because they always thought it meant something, but it doesn't have to mean something. Because you get to a point where people keep on pressuring to that. Last year, something like that happened to me, and I reached to a point where I was like, okay, maybe I'm not feeling very attracted to this person, but maybe I could just hurry that whole thing up of the first kisses and stuff so people stop bugging me. But then I was thinking, god damn, isn't that sad thinking that my first kiss was with something someone I didn't even like? Isn't it better to have something with a person I feel romantically involved and attracted sexually in every type of way? That's yeah. kind of sad.
Just because you wanna, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, just like, not because you're pressured, not because you think, oh, if I kiss like this person right now, my family / friends / whatever will like stop bugging me about this. Like, you won't ever remember this kiss for good things. And when I say kiss, it's like whatever, everything, every type of experience. But if you do it because you want it, because you like the person, or just like because you feel that's the right time, or you're in the mood, or whatever, like, go for it. And even if it's awkward, if it's like kind of strange, kind of like ew, you will remember it for good reasons, because you did it because you wanted to do it. And it's not really a mistake. It's just like something that you felt in the moment that you just did. And even if after you have like second thought, like, what did I do that? You just like, well, I did because I wanted. And so it's fine.
Yeah.
It will never be a mistake if you do it when you want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You just have to.
It's a... you know, and you, the thing, you know, I guess I have the most experience out of all those three, and I don't have that much as well, you know.
I mean, you don't really have more experience, you just have a relationship.
yeah, basically. And basically. A relationship I didn't want. Yeah. So, let's not, but the thing is, you know, one of the things I also think is that this romanticization of romance and love, especially in young people, it's like, it's trash. Honestly, it's trash. I went through the whole the thing with expectations and with having loving and having to be loved and all that stuff. It's like, I went through all that. And I didn't feel that first love. I didn't. I felt like I was
doing... Because it wasn't love.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it
was... I was doing stuff. Nothing. I was doing stuff with a friend I was comfortable with. Yeah, I was comfortable with at the time. But I wasn't really feeling it at all. So...
It's not know, love.
That's, you know, it's you just know like... it was pressure. It was... And so it's pretty sad.
It's a relationship.
It's sad because instead of promoting and stimulating self-love and discovering yourself when you're like 13 and having great old sex education at schools, they just put people pressure on kids to have relationships, romantic relationships with other kids, just because that's normal. No, goddamn, you feel that need to have a romantic relationship because you that need to love yourself. You think you're going to find on that other person, but you're not. You're not. Stop.
You need to figure yourself out to figure other people yes. out. Yeah, and
you know, it's the thing that if you need somebody else to do it and you feel that you know someone, go for it. If you feel that you prefer to do it on your own first,
go for it.
Like, you know, just like understand what's the purpose. Ah, God damn it. What's the purpose you want to put into your life? Yeah. And just like, and what's the better way to achieve it and to do it and to get through it and just like roll with it. You know, some people need someone, and I get that a lot. You know, some people don't want to do it alone because they're scared, because whatever, they want to feel like that they have somebody with them, and so it's normal. And other people don't want to like have somebody with them at first because they feel like they're shy, they're, you know, they introverted, they prefer to do it on their own and be really like comfortable with themselves to be comfortable with somebody else. And so that's why I like getting back to the movie. Yeah. I like the movie, and I think that we need more movie like that, not only with like you know, gays relationship, but like straights.
Today with Shanna.
Now she's the one that's like rage quit. She's like,
oh my god.
Sorry. You were saying
I'd just like real quick, I think that not only with gay relationship but straight bi whatever relationship or just like self-discovery, I think that we need more movie like this that doesn't put like pressure on people, like, oh, you should be in love at 16 and you should have your first date that blah blah, and you know, because you faces in your life doesn't have age to it. They really have like, there's faces and they're gonna happen anyway. Yeah. It's gonna happen like naturally. Don't force things up. And so this movie is really clever because it doesn't push an idea that it was like forced. It's just like happened because it needed to happen, because it was natural and because they both were in that phase that they needed to live that, you know.
It was a go with it's a go with the flow movie. That's why it's really pretty. You not only relate to it just by the mood of it, it's so nostalgic, and that summer feeling of living in the not Italy, but how the hell do you say? Pronto, olha, vive no campo.
Living in the countryside.
In the countryside. Living in the countryside with all those cricket sounds. And the heats and the long days and the laziness and
giddy up, cowboy.
That's a different movie.
I love
you. It's a different movie.
Sorry, I'm into Brokeback
Mountain. And that's a lot more aggressive than such. If you want to see a kind of more explicit sexual relationship, go to Brokeback Mountain. Because, regarding to that, this movie, I actually pointed this out on my last university essay. I hadn't noticed actually this difference, or actually I hadn't thought about it the way that person wrote it on an article. But if you notice, when Elio has shares his first sexual relationship, sexual intercourse, with, it's already intercourse, so it's not, okay, never mind. But when he does it with Marzia, the scene is so you are so grown back from them. They are at this side of the screen.
Oh, yeah. They're really, like, it's they're a hidden. Really, yeah, okay,
exposed.
Yeah, I get it.
It's really exposed to everything and
else,
them.
But the intimacy of it, yeah.
Yeah, there's no intimacy. They're just laying in the grass. That's real quick. It's actually quite an embarrassing moment because Margie can stop laughing because Elio came too quickly. And he feels embarrassed as well.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And
happens to
there's
of us.
But I wouldn't say us because I
but there's no intimacy in that, you know.
Yeah, it's just like the primal. It was not a desire but more of an instinct.
Attention.
You
yeah.
know, they needed to
release that. And exactly. On the scene with Elio and Oliver, they don't show the sex scene in its own because that shows how much intimate they are with each other and how romantic that is. You just know they're going through that, and the director goes to the window and says, "Oh look, there's a tree. That's so beautiful."
Oh look, let's not, because I think that's where he draws the limit, you know. You can be a voyeur to like a thing that's does not mean anything to the person, but like it can be really intimate. I mean, not intimate, but like really, like you know, sexual intercourse are like something that we don't talk about, although mm-hmm. we don't show, we don't watch. You know, it's like taboo or whatever. But like the director has the thought that he has the right to film Marzia and Elio because it was like a taboo topic and it was like sexual intercourse, but it didn't mean nothing emotionally to the character, so it was fine. But when it started to make like sense and to be emotionally important to Elio, to Elio and Oliver, like we can't see it because it's too real and it's too important to them, so we just like respect
yes, and that is so pretty. Oh my god,
yeah
and the I don't know, I feel like intimate. I wanted to express more about it, but you said it so beautifully, so like I can't really put more into that thought. But the thing, about, you know, sharing that experience with someone else, obviously here it's charged with a lot of emotions of love and everything, but the thing about those kind of experiences is there's so much trust as well. You know, one of the most important things I'd say into sharing that with someone, it would be trust. And so, you know, in the movie, I feel like that's something as well that needs to be
developed,
protected. And protected in that sense, you know, from the viewer. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the viewer doesn't have Elio's trust and doesn't have Oliver's trust, but they trust each other. And so they share that with each other. And, you know, not saying that Marzia and Elio didn't trust, obviously they did, to be comfortable enough to experience that. I wouldn't say it runs as deep, obviously it doesn't, but they at least were able to share that with one another, you know. They weren't also, you know, to talk about experiencing that kind of stuff in a non standard way, I'd say, you know, when you're experiencing that kind of thing and, you know, talking about love and everything, there's people that, you know, won't feel that for most of their lives or all of their lives, and it's fine, and they still would want to experience sex and relation, you know, like that kind of intimacy with someone else. And I feel like trust and love, even though they're different things, they go really, they're in the same, you know, at the same level, because if you can't, if you can't really, hold on.
But just finish that thought and we'll finish it up.
Yeah. So experiencing that, you know, sometimes you don't really need to feel love to experience that with someone else. But trust is the most important thing. So if you feel like you want to experience that with someone, but you don't really love anyone, or you know, if you want to just experience that with someone you trust, you know, maybe a friend or something, I feel like that's very okay and very valid as well, you know. Talking about spectrums and, you know, how different experiences are for everyone, I feel like we didn't talk about that before, but it's really important that, you know, your experiences... And if you...
Yeah, but that's...
Don't want to experience at all.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you don't want to experience it, like... Go ahead. You know, that because that's the thing. Some people are aromantic, doesn't want any type of romantic relationship, or like just can't feel the type of feelings, and other people are just like asexual and just don't want to experience anything like sexually oriented, or just like don't like it. That's really a thing. Because you are not like forced to like sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
amazing. Because a lot of people don't get that. Like people are like, what? You don't like sex? Oh, you don't like sex? Well,
it's too life, fun.
I guess. Spectrums.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, it all comes down to our. I guess. I'd say it's our motto for the whole podcast. Actually, that is. Respect. You know, people just need to respect what everyone wants to do with their lives, you know, and how they want to live their individuality. And, you know, it's do your thing and like let other people do their thing in peace and in comfort.
Fine. Yeah.
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 And in case of doubt, just go to the last scene. No, it's not the last scene. Just go to the scene where Elio's father is talking to him. That's the whole thing you need to think about your life. That's the life motto. Experience everything, regret nothing, and feel the pain. Feel the happiness. Just do it.
Because that's life, guys.
Yes.
And with those amazing words... Life. We finished this week's episode.
Yeah, so finally.
We hope you enjoyed. If you ever want to talk about anything or share your opinion, you can do so in our social media. And we hope to see you next week with another episode as well. Have fun, respect one another, and experience all you want to. Yeah, experience all you want to experience in safety, please.
Protect yourself.
Wrap it before you tap it, guys.
My grandma supports.
Always a good it's PSA true. To have. Always a good PSA to have.
Discover yourself. My grandma supports. That's a quote.
We stand.
Okay, so bye.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.